All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's start today by reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Or maybe first of all, let's start from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That would be a good one to start. We are still dealing with the basics of faith, faith basics. And it's important we understand what Christianity is about, what we are dealing with when we say we are believers. A lot of people think that what it means to be a Christian is that you go to church. They think that it's just a matter of the church you go to or the church you don't go to. That's not what Christianity has to deal with. It has to do with your whole life, your existence, where you came from, and where you are going, and how you are living the life right now on the earth. Even we preachers, we tend to unconsciously fall into that trap. We want to start using all kinds of things to attract people, and we claim that our church is growing. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Meanwhile, that's not what Christianity is. It's not church attendance. It's the transformation of the lives of people by the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And those of us who have believed truly, we must know exactly what we believe. All right. I told you some time ago, I decided to do a lot of study. I was reading all kinds of things from different kinds of religions, trying to find out exactly what they said and what made my own faith superior to theirs. Are you getting what I'm saying? That because I wanted to know exactly what I believed. And when I finished, believe me, I believed Christ some more. Because I discovered, after that I wrote an article which I called The Supremacy of Christ. And I discovered, in fact, I was listening to one man of God in my car. And he said that everywhere that people have truly sought after God, that it's God's responsibility to reveal truth to them. And I smiled to myself because a few years ago, I wrote that in an article. I said that everywhere that men have truly sought after God, God has always revealed himself to them so that nobody can come and say that, for example, what about those who didn't hear the gospel? Listen to me. If they really wanted the truth, God would have sent them the gospel. If he needed to give them angels, visions, and revelations, God would have. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. So let's understand what we are really dealing with in our faith concerning our Christianity. All right, so now let's continue by reading from where I said we should open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I am going to read from verse 26. You remember we started talking about as part of our faith basics, we're talking about the hope, the believer's hope of victory. Where does your triumph in life come from? Where does your victory in life come from? And if you see, everything we have been discussing has to do with the person Jesus Christ. And I can't say it enough, because apparently we have not talked enough about his person. He said, if I'm lifted up, you know, there's a principle behind that. And though he was talking physically about his death and resurrection, but there's something about the lifting up of Christ Jesus that solves the problems of mankind. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. This is the solution to the problems of mankind. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that is, the things that are small, he has chosen them to nullify the things that are mighty, that no man should boast before him. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Please notice that, Christ Jesus. He said, for by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, what is the significance of that statement? What he was saying simply is this. If you read further down, you see him describing Jesus as the wisdom and the power of God. Now, what he was saying in effect, okay, so that's in verse 24. I jumped, I should have please just gone back a few steps. Please, let's start from verse 22. He said, for indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Please, that's really what I was looking for. To Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, what we are preaching Christ is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You see that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, and to us he has become wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, why did I read all of this? Well, I want to just use that one to review all the things that we said before concerning Christianity. Please, I want you to listen attentively. No matter how much you shout about God, 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 if the name Christ Jesus does not appear in your vocabulary, you don't understand anything yet. Anybody can shout God. Are you getting my point? Listen. What is the big thing about... I want to ask a question now. I can write a cookbook, right? Is it good to write a cookbook? Now, I'm not saying Pastor Bank should write a cookbook. I'm saying that if somebody writes a book on cooking, is it a good thing? So it's not bad. All right, good. So if I tell you how to make ogbono soup and edika ekong and onugu, all right, I'm doing you something good. I tell you how to make different kinds of ice creams. It's good. Is that okay? Well, let me ask you a question. Is that Christianity? It's not bad, but it's not Christianity. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. Because in this day and age, you know, I told you last time that I feel like talking about the 21st century dark ages. Before, we had the dark ages in which we did not have the Bible. And nobody could handle it except, you had to get the church authority to tell you what to say. And truth was scarce. The church was very political. We're very powerful powerhouse on the earth, that's the church of God on the earth. But truth was not found there. But this day, what do we have? We have a church that's no longer political like that, but has become prosperous. Before it was political power, now it's financial power that we have. Alright? It is a good thing, alright, that Christians prosper. I'm not saying it's not, alright? But you see something, around a lot of Christians are prosperous and churches have a lot of money. So every good thing in life, there is a danger. In fact, I wrote an article before on what I call the danger of prosperity. You can see find it on our website. There's a danger to everything. The Bible says concerning the fool, when he prospers, that's the beginning of his destruction. There is a danger to everything. When the church began to prosper, one of the things they forgot was the power of God. Are you getting my point? It's very crucial. That's why God said, I made you hungry so that you will understand certain issues, so that you will not forget the power of God before I fed you with manna. Please follow what I'm saying. As part of the problems, all right, that came into the church is that a lot of human wisdom is now being preached as the word of God. That's why I told you about cookbook. Somebody can write a book on something that is good, but that does not mean it is Christianity. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. We must be careful. I read all kinds of books. But the other day, I ordered a book from Yinka. I looked at the book. I said, this book, what am I going to gain from reading this book? I think I'll tell him to help me sell it again. It's a very good book on economics. I knew what was inside before I ordered it. It's not a Christian book. It's just a book. History is not Christian history. It's just history. All right? You can learn geography. You can learn economics. But please don't forget, that is not Christianity. A lot of things we practice, and I've been saying this again and again, I want to say it enough. The fact that something is sounding the realm of the spirit does not mean it is Christianity. The realm of the spirit is as real and as tangible as the physical realm. And since human beings are connected to both realms, we are connected to the realm of the spirit and we are connected to the physical realm. In the same, for that reason, we can decide to learn the laws of the realm of the spirit. It does not make us Christians. It does not even make us spiritual. It just makes us people that are learning another subject. If I was watching on Al Jazeera, the curse of the sands, they were talking about the mines that were planted by the Allied forces around the parts of Egypt, El Alamein and all of that, those places. And that right now, many years after, they are still exploding and killing people and maiming people. And one man there, it was interesting. He said he had a foreknowledge of something like this was going to happen before, because his leg was blown up by one of the mines. All right? This is war that ended, you know, like almost 60 years ago. It was not more than 60 years ago. 1945 to now. It's quite some time. Alright? So, the mines are still killing people. That's why they're doing the documentary, The Curse of the Sands. It's on Al Jazeera. Now, the man said that the night before the thing happened, or two nights before it happened, because he stepped on the mine, he was grazing his cattle or plowing a field. And then, the mine went off and then blew off his leg. Alright? He said two nights or so before that happened, He dreamt that somebody poured hot tea poured for a table or something, and poured on that leg. And it was really, really painful. The following day, the leg blew up. I'm just letting you know that spiritual things are real. And human beings connect to the realm of the spirit. So you can decide to go and learn it. You can, I know I've been saying it again and again. So don't let people like Till Zelobs and Rangpa fool you. Don't let Grail Message entice you. You understand my point? Don't let Rosicrucians entice you. A Rosicrucian is just like a man who studied physics in another dimension. That's what they call it, metaphysics. Because the forces are real. You can learn them. I read a book those days by Till Zelobs and Rangpa titled You Forever. Alright? I read it as a believer. A friend of mine was harassing me about the truth inside. So I said, okay, bring it. Let me read. I finished reading it. I told him that this is foolishness. What is the big deal? The man learned psychometry. How to read letters that are written in other languages by running his fingers over the surface of the pages. So after you have read it, what does it mean? Me, I'll give it to an interpreter. Read it for me and convert it to English. Doesn't mean you are powerful spiritually. It just means that instead of going to learn biology and agriculture, you decided to go and learn the things that control the invisible realm. It does not make you a Christian, and it does not make you a spiritual person. It just makes you a learned person in a particular field. Are you getting my point? So when you see the name God, 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 God shouting everywhere, it doesn't mean the person is a believer. Because, listen, I need to say this again. We are talking about the person of Jesus Christ, because in him, that's where we have everything we have. It's only in Christ Jesus. Alright? A man is shouting, God, God. God created this universe. He created time. He created this dispensation. And in this dispensation, there's a way he communicates with people. If you go and read Hebrews chapter 1, he said there are two dispensations within this our existence now of God's communication with mankind. He said in former times he communicated through the prophets. And if I don't have time to go over it now, the prophets, there are some of them recorded in the Bible. Those are the ones that gave us the word of God that's documented about Christianity to come. But there were prophets that their words are not in the Bible. What I'm trying to say is that there were prophets who existed and talked to people. For example, Jethro. Are you getting my point? For example, Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. Like I'm telling you, look, you don't find his prophets in the Bible, apart from the ones he came to Naribody, because God did not commit to him the oracles of God concerning his plan to come. But men who wanted to talk to God, they went to Balaam. Those days. In the same manner, in Nigeria, what is Nigeria now? There were prophets here and there. He left himself what the Bible calls witnesses. That's why those days, I'm from the West in Nigeria. I can give you a bit of the traditional history there. They had what they call, you and I call Babalawos now. All right? They were not bad people, all of them. They were good ones and they were bad ones. That's the one dispensation. God spoke in diverse ways, in diverse manners to the fathers through those prophets. Jewish prophets, which we have in the Bible, and then local prophets here and there. But now said, in this day, in these last days, he has spoken only one way. Any Babalawo anywhere in Western Nigeria practicing today is a man that is out of date. Because his trade was good those days. I mean, the one is very fantastic. All the things, if you know the story about the Babalawos in the West and what they call the Ifa priests, all right? They have their own psalms. You know what they call psalms in the Bible? They have their own psalms. They call it Odu Ifa. They don't just wake up and say what they like. People who study, who get bachelor's degrees in Yoruba language, that's what they study those things in school. So when you see that man wearing white, casting pellets and talking, he's not just speaking anything. He's speaking certain words that perform certain functions. If he wanted a tree to change his mind about the direction in which it is growing, he had codes to use to speak to the spirit behind the tree. I'm telling you, those men had what they were doing. And men still practice some of those things till today. But listen, I told you before, you know what makes error, error? Once you carry truth beyond its boundaries, it becomes error. I mean, think about it. Stargazing. We all say stargazing is bad. Fine. I'm not saying it is good. But who, the wise men that came to see Jesus, what were they gazing at? How did they know he was born? You think it's Holy Spirit? It wasn't Holy Spirit. They gazed at the stars, and the stars told them, yes, he's been born. And they said, let's go and look for him. But if you gaze out at the stars after you met him, you don't lose. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are not lost. You can gaze at stars, nothing spoil. But once you meet Jesus Christ, the stars just lost their illumination. So men were shouting God before now. That's what I'm going to say in all of these things. But in these days, God has spoken one way in his son, Jesus Christ. Please, and I'll always like to explain these things to believers, because sometimes you encounter learned people and they confound you with their wisdom. An occultic man cannot come and talk to me and try to harass me. People have given me books. This is a great message, complete volume. Go and look at it. When I finish reading, I said, look, I'm not saying what the man wrote is totally wrong, but it's inferior knowledge. I don't know, you get my point? This, why should I leave what is good? You get my point? And then go down to that which, it's like somebody, a child has malaria. I say, those days, our parents used to use the juice from this tree. He used to cure malaria. The doctor is not saying it's a lie. He's just saying that when you collect the juice from that tree, you drink about 17,000 different kinds of alkaloids, of which only two of them kill malaria. We have extracted those two and have chosen the best one of the two, and we have packaged them into tablets. So any man drinking one black juice because the great-grandfather used it to kill malaria is out of date. It's not because those things are evil. It's just that now medical science did a lot of study. They learned that if you drink too much when you are too small, your ears will start singing. And for those of you who know, quinine makes ears sing. So they've graduated the dose. So it is not, you cannot now say, this is real medicine. You now present it to me and I'll be excited. What am I saying? I have something superior. I'm not saying yours is bad. I just have something superior. So when I read the great message story, I said, what is in all of this? A confused man is putting ignoramuses together and teaching them something small. I have light deeper than the one that he has. Why should I reject my better light and go for his candle when I have the son of righteousness? A man is offering me a candle. What are you talking about? If I see an obodi man, I'll say, listen, nobody enters those things out of excitement. It's out of need. Yes, they're looking for something. You're looking for power. You are looking for prosperity. You are looking for long life. Are you getting my point? So they learn, look, listen, I told you before, look, let me tell you something. Moses came, took a stick and threw it down, and it turned to serpent. Egyptian looked at themselves, said, that one are class one. They bring me a stick. The guy threw it up, blew at it, it didn't hit the floor, turned to serpent. Said, Moses, any other thing? That is, look, people were doing those things before Moses showed up. And that's what confuses a lot of people today. They do something small. You understand my point? I'm looking at an issue. A man joins a cult so he can learn how to turn leaf to money. No, I'm saying that's why they do it. And I told that story to let you know it can be done. No, they're not being deceived, though. You see one babalawo in the jungle doing concussions, collecting heads of snakes and animals and making a man rich. It's doable. It's doable. It's doable. Go to Egypt. They used to do it. Till today, if you are ready to make the necessary sacrifices, there are guys who can make you rich. The only thing is that it's called necessary sacrifices. Did you not know what I said? Some of them are fables, all right? But they are based on truth. The story we used to hear when we were young. Is that sometimes they will go and tell you that, look, we can make you very rich, but you can only enjoy the money for 15 years. Every man has a record of how long he should live on the earth. So maybe God has ordained that in health and prosperity, this guy should make the 120. Right now he's 30, and he's tired of being broke. So a man who understands spiritual mathematics and has invented, all right, computers and dynamos, you know what I mean, electrical gadgets of the spirit, we say, look, we can take your long life energy and convert it to financial energy. So say, from now till you die, you're supposed to live another 90 years. I can take 75 of that. It will come, because of the inefficiency of my machine, it will come to about 3.5 billion. I give you 3.5 billion to spend in 15 years. That's the best I can do. You now make your choice. A man joins the call to make money. Don't let him intimidate you. He paid something. There are some, they say, what's the value of your kidneys? All right, we sell your kidneys. It's spiritual. You chop money for 12 years. After that, your kidneys just pack up for no reason. You use... you take your kidney, take cook. You've heard of people using their sons. Listen, those are not lies. They are not lies. If you decide that you want to go and learn how to do it, you can go to school. They will teach you. You don't have to be spiritual. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. This is what Christianity is. I have looked at it. Why did you join the cult? You wanted money. You wanted power. You wanted fame. And God said there was a time. See that, look, listen, you must understand something about God. All the quests of mankind, they are not new. The quest for power, God put it inside you. God never designed anybody, all right, to want to be weak. No, no, no. It's against godliness. Weakness is against godliness. What God preaches, all right, is that sometimes a man becomes weak that he might be strong indeed. Then where do you want your power? Do you want it amongst men, or you want power with God? So God looks at the man and says, your name is no longer Jacob. I make you the power of God. Power with God. Israel. That different. You can want your power anywhere. But that a man should not want power, no, that's not godliness. I'm looking at something. For a man to want prosperity is godly. God made it like that. For a man to wake up and want to be poor, sometimes it's a matter of sin and iniquity that removes his brain. Doesn't understand what's important in life. But what is godliness? I'll tell you what godliness is. Godliness is that, okay, good. How do we get it? Are you getting my point? They will say, shoot two people. That's what iniquity is called. A man wants to be rich. It is good. Jabez went to God and said, what is it? It's enough. God therefore made him rich. Is that not the truth? When God called Abraham, Abraham asked, what are you giving me? I don't know whether you get my point. And God, did God vex? There was no vexation. In the time of Abraham, if you look at it, what men wanted, it's not now. You know now, we are too many on the earth. Nobody's looking for a nation again. We just want house. I don't know whether I get the point. In the time of Abraham, to build house was not an issue. What men wanted was to become what? Nations. Go and check it. The prophecies of God is always he shall become a nation. No, go and read the scriptures. God will look at what's her name? Hagar. He said, don't worry, this boy will also become a great nation. I will bless you. You will be blessed. Your descendants will be, let me put no word now, nations. God always talked about nations because that's what men wanted to become. How many were there on the earth? Now you are thinking of buying a street. Then men didn't want streets. They wanted whole continents. So God looked at Abraham and said, come, I'm extending a great reward. And Abraham looked at him and said, you know, I don't have a child, so I cannot become a nation. So what are you planning to give me? So God said, don't worry, just watch me. You will indeed bear a son, and your son shall be great, and nations will come out of your bowel. Not one. Nations. That it will happen that men on the earth will be glad to be named by your name, and they will be nations. And Abraham says, that's who? God said, yeah. So, okay, what do you want? Follow me and be perfect. He said, no problem. I gave you Isaac, give him back to me. Abraham said, no problem. What I'm saying is that the desires of men's hearts, all right, they are not bad. They are not bad. What God always quarreled with is how. He said, enter those desires by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one that leads to destruction. Many men who walk through those ones, they will get what they want with destruction. But if you enter by the straight gate, the difficult gate, where that few people are patient enough to seek out and enter by, that's when you find life. enter by the gates of God into anything you want. There are different gates. There's a gate of God and there's a gate of the devil. There's a gate of the world. There are personal gates. He said, enter by the gate of God. That's what God is asking for. What do you want in life? You want to be powerful and rich? Fine, no problem. It's okay. I mean, that's just the way I made human beings to be. So what are you going to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, now, first thing you do, I strip you of every power you have right now. And if you say yes, then indeed, God will give you power beyond. Because sometimes when you're asking for things, it's within the limits of your imagination. Then God will give you the one that is beyond your imagination. Are you getting my point? What am I saying all of these things? So men joining all those calls and all of that, they are looking for things. They want power. They want protection. Believe me, outside there is dangerous. You are going on your way. Two people are fighting. They shoot each other. The bullet misses the guy and hits somebody else passing on the way. That's danger. The Bible talks about the habitations of cruelty. Human beings are wicked. Just wake up at night, go to a village where nobody offended you, and you kill everybody there. That's wickedness. Adolf Hitler just woke up and looked at a group of people, said, these are our enemies, and slaughtered 6 million of them, and he was not tired. That's wickedness. So men want protection, and it's right for you to want protection. Listen to me. Only a fool will not go to Babalawo when he doesn't have God. Listen to me. If I was not a believer, I would be an occultist. Life is too dangerous to just stand idle. I do like that. Look who. Life is dangerous. You join politics. You don't have protection. You will die. You either come to God to get it or bros, find the hardest baba out there to help you. You hear people talk about ODHC, that is, you know, I mean, those things are, they are not lies. I have seen men who have witnessed those things. Those things are not lies. Let nobody fool you that it's imagination. It's not imagination. So listen to me, if you are going out in this world, you want to survive, you got to have protection. A lot of people who shout down, I don't have time for all those things. They are poor. You go and check it. They don't have anything. Nobody is chasing them. Yeah, it's true. They are not going for any political office. He has one 1986 model Camry. That's the only worldly possession. Even thieves are not interested. Telling me I'm not interested. All these things don't bother me. Listen, my friend. It's because you are still small. When you are ready to go for big things, you will see trouble. I don't want to bore you with all the stories of operations of strange powers. And don't make it black men. I've read testimonies of white people. Go and read John G. Lake's story. What he saw in South Africa. The guy went to America. Look at this America. He's never seen it. What he saw. The operations of satanic powers that he saw in South Africa. So if you're a girl walking around bare chested, I see nothing to happen. You know the problem? You're not going anywhere in life. So nobody is troubling you. You're not troubling anybody. Or maybe you have been totally bound by the devil so that it is not troubling you any further. I'm telling you. But men who are shaking waters, believe me, they need protection. Men who want to wrest power away from wicked souls, they need protection. And that's what I'm telling you. You either pick it from Christ Jesus, or you go and take the cheap one that you can afford from all these tough babalawos out there. Because the weakest of God's power is tougher than the toughest of babalawos. What am I saying? I said all of this to understand the quest in the heart of men. And I'm explaining a principle. That God, knowing this, he said you are looking for protection, he packaged the protection and kept it. You are looking for prosperity without selling your soul for it, he said no problem. He packaged prosperity and kept it. You are looking for fulfillment. You want to become nations. No problem. God packaged that thing called blessing and kept it there. He now said, who is worthy to take it? Nobody could take it. Men struggle and struggle and struggle. Then finally, we discussed this one last time. I don't want to go by it again. Jesus now came and took it. And you will know how he did. By obedience of righteousness and then obedience unto the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Now God now said that blessing has finished. You know, I said it last time. Protection has finished. I don't have again. When you go to go and cry, bless me. Cornelius cried, gave offering, did everything. Cornelius cried and cried and cried, help me now. God said, it has finished. So where is it? They said it's with Jesus Christ. So he called an angel, said, go and help that guy. The angel said, we have heard your prayer. We've been discussing in heaven for a while. But everything you are asking for, it don't finish. Cornelius said, yeg believe. Waiting guy go do, and I said, nothing spoil. It has actually become easier to attain. So how do I get it? Say, just wait here. Gather men, send them to Peter. Let them go, and Peter will come and tell you where to find it. So the moment Peter arrived, Cornelius said, oh, well, thank God you have come. Oh, yeah. What must we do? Can you see that? To be saved. That's what men keep asking. And the answer always is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You don't need to go to any babalawo for protection anymore. Are you getting my point? You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need it. Whatever you want in life is in Christ Jesus. You don't need to cut off 75 years out of the 90 you have left so as to enjoy for only 15. You can enjoy for those 90 years in fulfillment with joy. Not because of your own life, but because Jesus gave up everything he had that you might have anything you might ever want. He said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. So I will never kill my son to be rich in life. I will ask for riches and it is mine. I don't know whether you get my point. That's what God is saying. I won't sign any agreement with any joker to enter political office. If I want the seat, I will ask for it. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations, the hidden, as an inheritance. That's what we are preaching. Look, listen. We are the original babalawo. No, we are the real ones. No, these are the tough babalawos. I'm serious. This is not a joke. Regular babalawo should see us remove their pellets, everything, and bow and greet, say, senior guy has come. Because he needs the man to sacrifice his son before he can be rich. I don't need that. I say, keep your son, keep your wife, keep your sanity, keep your long life, yet take riches and prosperity free of charge. It's called grace. The mistake a lot of us make as preachers these days, we don't understand grace anymore. Brother, a friend of mine sent me a text, a banker refutes this statement. Because a big preacher said, supplies do not answer to prayer, they answer only to seed. I said, it's a lie. That Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, it includes money. I said, Jabez, how did he get money? James said, you have not because you ask not. I said, that statement is not a statement of grace. I'm not explaining that believers should be stingy, but I'm saying you don't prosper because of your money that you give. Around nonsense. If that was why you prospered, are you getting my point? Then it's no longer grace. It is your work. That is Esau principle. I labor. But I told you, look, spiritual labor is still labor. You get my point? Whether you are laboring physically or you're laboring in the realm of the spirit, the only labor that is good labor is to labor to enter into rest. And that labor, are you getting me, is a labor in which you relax totally. You are laboring so you can totally relax. And it's a labor of faith. And that's what I'm discussing for that today. It's a labor in which you take what God has given you and you accept it. So when I want prosperity, I don't say, okay, I give till I get it. No. I will go and say, in Christ Jesus. You know what we read just now? He said, Christ has become to us everything, salvation, redemption, and the power of God for prosperity. I'm adding that expression now. So what I need is just to, look, let me tell you something. I said before that everything is now in Christ Jesus. Just like Jacob needed to look in a particular way before he got the blessing. Did you notice that? The blessing that Jacob got from Isaac, he had to appear as if he was Esau. He had to smell like Esau. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's the way it is. It's a spiritual code there. What God gave to Jesus, if you want to partake of it, you must be like Jesus. That is why iniquity prevents us from inheriting what's our blessing. So Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look, I've told you before, that's what sin is. Sin is not, hey, God will catch you and flog you. No, it's not like that. It is a boy, you won't look like the person you are supposed to look like. And if you don't look like a certain person, you cannot inherit a certain blessing. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I hope you've gotten my point. And that's what we're discussing. In Christ Jesus, everything. So, it's not just about shouting the name God, God. You must shout the name Christ. You must shout the name Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father to receive anything except they come through me. If they get there without me, they discover it has finished. The job of the believer is to soak himself, therefore, totally in Christ Jesus. Go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see what I'm saying. The way Paul put it. Listen, life is dangerous, so you need protection. I mean, you need it. He said, verse 30, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He said that as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. What I'm bringing out there is the fact that you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Listen to me, that's the protection you need in life. That's the connection you need. You see, when you talk about, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not a lie. Are you getting my point? But this is the who to know. This is the who to know. This is the person to know, Christ Jesus. It makes all those operations that people say, get to know this person, get to know this person. It makes it irrelevant. I told you, you can't have the sun shining. Somebody be offering you candle. You see all these lights you have in Enugu? These powerful sodium lamps that shine bright yellow at night, making a lot of people forget to put on their lights. You know those lights? Very powerful. By 6 a.m., they are useless. The sun just winks more. That is no, small blinking from the sun. The lights are useless. Yesterday, I parked in front of this building. And then I looked up, I saw something yellow, like a coloring of yellow. I looked up, the lights were on. That is the only look like color of yellow painted on the lamp.